It is truly good to be here today. You know, that last song we sang, it's an oft-quoted verse in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, right? And you know where that what context that verse is in? I found it interesting when I studied it out the other day. It's in the context of this weekend here, or this thing of Christ dying and rising again. It is in that context. That is the day that he's talking about. That's the day that God has set forth. God made this day to happen, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I believe that we can apply that to other days as well, but it's in the context of the death and resurrection of Christ. And so we rejoice today, amen? I just tell you this morning, I'm just thankful to be here, and God is just very real, isn't he? Isn't God real to you? I'm telling you, just the life that he brings to us, and the joy that fills my heart this moment, and just knowing who I am in Christ and what he's done for me is just a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous blessing. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And as I looked at this, I don't know if it's a Easter message or not, but I believe that we can look at this morning. We can follow along in the Easter, yeah. So John chapter 20, verse 24 through 29 is what I want to read this morning. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hand, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace be unto you. And he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And this morning, the title of my message is My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. That's what I want to talk about this morning. But I'd just like to pray again. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are a great, holy God. You are the righteous Father that has come to give us eternal life, and we thank you for being here and blessing each one of us that has come this morning. We have been blessed with life from you this morning, whether it is life eternal or just physical life, Father. I pray, God, if there's anyone here today, Father, that is not blessed with life eternal, that their hearts would be smitten today, Father, that their heart would be opened up to you, God, and believe, as Jesus says here, be not faithless, but believing, O God. And I just thank you this morning that you have made it so clear to us. You have made it so clear to us to see this glorious Christ, this glorious resurrection, this glorious life that you have laid down for our sake, Father, to take it back up again. So we just thank you for this time, this opportunity. And we just thank you for being here, blessing us with that again. We just thank you in your name we pray. Amen. And so, let's just say that together. Can we say that together? That title, My Lord and My God. And as I was reading across here a number of weeks ago, God just impressed upon my heart these words. So, when you say, My Lord, what does that mean? My Lord. So, what does Lord mean? If you look it up, what does that mean when you say, My Lord? Or what does Lord mean to you? I'm sorry? Yes, it is that, but there's a lot that goes with it. There's authority there. There's just a host of things that go with this, and I just want to look today at two things. I want to look at a voluntary Savior, a voluntary Lord, and then in that case, there needs to be voluntary followers, if that's the case. And so when I say my Lord, then that means that I am voluntarily bringing myself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That I'm voluntarily bringing myself there. And we will look at some more of that later. But just this word Lord, if you go in the Old Testament, and you'll see the word Jehovah a number of times, and And it was a sacred word to the Jews, or a sacred title. I don't really like to call it a word because it's not just a word. It's a title. It declares something about God. God's names aren't just words. They're not just something to identify. I mean, just to say, okay, so that's who we're talking about. It identifies who he is. It says something about God. And so in the Jewish culture, even today, it is forbidden to speak or to say the name Jehovah. They will put other names in there. They don't say the name Jehovah. Now, there's some superstition involved with that. It's not like God tells them they can't use it. They don't use it because of the third commandment where it says that you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so for fear of that, they don't use it. They don't use that name. They've put other names in it instead of Jehovah. And so I just see that as something for me to look at and say, okay, so we use the name Lord and God very freely a lot of times. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but I think that we need to be a little careful with this. At times we use it pretty freely when the world uses his name as a curse word. Many times I've heard it, many times, where they use it and it's a name that's a holy, blessed name, but yet when they're upset about something or exasperated, they'll use the name of Christ or the name of God in vain in that situation. I was going to say that just the other day I was out doing some soliciting, and again, I don't say this as a joke this morning, and you know I don't like coffee, but I see these signs that say, talk about Jesus and coffee, and you know what, brothers and sisters, I don't believe that the Jews would have allowed that to be in their house. I don't believe that you would have said that, all I need today is God and coffee. I don't think they would have let that happen. There's a holiness that goes with that name. There's a awe that is associated with this name. And brothers, this morning, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, there has to be a awe that goes forth from us to him. Truly, that's where he belongs. And I'm not saying we have those things in our house. I don't believe we do. But I tell you, I don't like those things. Christ is more than that. He is more than that. Now, as I look at lordship, voluntary Lord is what I want to look at here today. But when you think of lordship, you think of authority. And that's truly what it is. If you look up the word Lord, it says one who has power and authority, a master, a ruler, or governor. And now I'm going to give you an example of lordship in a very negative way. But back in about the early 1920s, there was an up-and-coming man in Germany. His name was Hitler. He was climbing the political ladder. He was getting up higher and higher. He was a very good talker, orator, and so he got the attention and the support of a lot of people. And from a very young age, his goal was to eliminate the Jews. That was his goal from a very young age. And so he wanted, in order to do that, he had to be in power to do this. He had to be in power to do this. And so in 1923, he tried to seize power by force. And he ended up getting put in prison for a year. When he came back out again, he climbed the political ladder and he got put into a position where he convinced the one higher than him to give him all power to make any decision or any law for 4 years. And so by the persuasion of the people, this fellow did that. And in his reign, then in this time, he enacted a number of laws that took away all other powers and ensured that he would stay in power for as long as he was there. There was laws in place that he could not be taken out of power again. And so we have somebody, and so that's the thought of lordship. When you think of this, the Jews in that day, they were being carried off by the millions. And there was 5 million Jews that he killed, and there was lots of other deaths associated with Hitler. But that's a very negative, but yet he was lording over the people. He was lord. He was in a power and authority. And I just want us to think of it this way. When you think of Christ, who gave himself for us, when Christ gave himself for us, he is Lord. We call him Lord like Thomas did. My Lord and my God. What does that look like to you? Let's look at a couple verses here. Voluntary Savior. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, It says there, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Volunteering his life for my life. He laid down his life. He said, "I lay down my life." He has the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. He laid down his life for us. It was not a death by force. There was no one forcing him to do this. All power was given to him. There was no one forcing him to do this. And another one is "not my will," like Mark talked about this morning. He often said, "It's not my will, but yours be done." There was no one saying that he had to lay down his life. But hear these words from the Savior. He says, "Not my will, but yours be done." But he would have loved to have this cup passed from him. But it was not to be so. He didn't want it to be that way. And if you think about it, Jesus was looking at this. And he really, I believe he came to the point where there was no choice for him but to take this cup and drink it. Because he looked at the plight of me and you. He saw you and me here today. And he looked at that, he looked forward, and he saw that if he didn't drink that cup, then we would remain in our sins and we would be servants to the devil forever. If he wouldn't drink that cup. He looked forward to that, and he saw the joy that was beyond it. The joy that said, when I trust in him, then the joy that was going to bring the glory to the Father. And it's just beautiful when you look at it this way, of Christ willingly laying down his life, coming down from glory, giving his life for us, a voluntary Savior. He voluntarily laid down his life for me and you. In the garden, Peter got out his sword and cut off he asked Jesus, "Should we fight?" And before Jesus ever answered, he whacked off the high priest's ear right there. And Jesus said, "No, we can't do that." So he said, "Put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given unto me, shall I not drink it? Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" So how many angels, or how many people, or how many are in one legion? Can somebody tell me? 12,000. That's 72,000 angels that he could have called upon right there, more than that even. And how many did it take at the tomb to make these men fall back as dead? 2. That's all it took. You see, this voluntary Savior is Lord over all. And something I just want to say, when I talk about the voluntary Savior, I'm talking about us here today. He voluntarily laid down his life. Yes, he is Lord over the universe. He is in control of all the universe. He is not stopped by anyone. But yet, he is a voluntary Savior to us today. Other places, and actually a number of times, he says he gave himself for us. In Titus 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." He gave himself. And in 1 John 3, verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down his life for us. Now, brothers and sisters, what does that look like to you in your everyday life? When you think of this voluntary Lord, and now you come over here and you say, "My Lord and my God." I say, "My Lord and my God." There is something that we have to see in this that this will then direct and dictate what I do. It has to. You know, it's not everyone who says, "My Lord," says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom, but it's those who do the will of the Father. And if we say, "Lord," ought we not do the things that he told us to do? That's in Mark there. But it is not all who say, "Lord." It is those that do the will of the Father. But I just want us to see here today that it is something in these words that when we say Lord and God, it's referring to something. And when you think of that, he has other titles as well. King. That's another title for Christ. He's king. And so there's a king, there's a kingdom. There's subjects in this kingdom. And there's master. And these all refer to someone who's an authority and has subjects that he controls. Voluntary Savior. Acts 2, verse 36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And now today, Christ has authority over me, over the church. He has authority over the church. And as a subject of Christ, we no longer have the right to just say, to just do as we please or do as we want, or we don't say no, Lord. We say yes, Lord. That's all we say. That's all we can say, is because we are bought with a price. The Bible is very clear about that. We are bought with a price. And you know what? Authority scares us a bit sometimes because of the misuse of it. We are scared of authority, so when we think of Christ's authority, we don't want to submit to that at times, because authority is not something that we are very fond of. But Jesus talks about all power being given to him in heaven and in earth. All rule and authority is given to God. All creation is under his authority. There is no creation that's not under his authority. And so we do well to follow after him. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. See here again, we see this voluntary Savior. For your sakes he became poor, that ye might become rich. That ye might be rich. And today we are partakers of his holiness. We are partakers of his righteousness. We have become rich through the death of Christ. He became poor so we can become rich. We are bought with a price. Redeemed. We are purchased. Bought back. We are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. And it's the only price that can ever be paid to bring us back to God again. Is this price that Christ paid, this blood that he shed. It is the only thing that will ever make any satisfaction with God, is this price that he paid. Now, when you think of it, when you buy something, what happens? Let's say you go and buy a truck, what happens? This truck becomes yours, right? I mean, when you outright buy it, this truck becomes yours. And you do with it what you want, right? This truck, you take it, and I can sit in there, and I can drive it, and when I want to go, I hit the gas pedal, and this thing goes, and when I want to stop, I hit the brakes, and if I want to turn, I'll turn over here, and you know, this truck does exactly what I want it to do. If I want to blow the horn, I hit the horn. We toot the horn sometimes. And you just, if I want to wash it, I wash it. I mean, this thing does what I want it to do. Whatever, I am master over this truck. That is the same thing that God is saying to us. He has bought us back. He has redeemed us. He has bought us with a price, and that price was his blood. And so we become unprofitable servants, as Luke tells us, and we only do that which is pleasing to, which is our duty to do. We only do that which is our duty to do, because he has bought us back. We are bought back into the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it means when they say, my Lord and my God, is that I am under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. It means, one, that I recognize that there's authority there. I recognize when I say, my Lord, I recognize that there's authority here that is set up, that God has set up. And number two, that I am willing to subject myself to this authority, and that he becomes the captain of this ship. He becomes the director of what I do. He tells me what I do. I no longer have my own thing that I go off and I do. I don't say, you know what, God, not today. I'm going to go over here. No, we are under his authority when I say, my Lord and my God. And this is a voluntary kingdom. There, Jesus never says, move over, I'm coming in. It's a voluntary kingdom. He stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks on the door. He says, if you will open up, I'll come in. I'll sup with you. But if I come in, there's a price that's going to have to be paid. But it's okay. But I want to come in. We will have fellowship together. If I come in, light will come in. Darkness will have to go. And you know, we stand there and we think about this price and we look at it and sometimes there's those, and not all of us, but I've done that. I've said, not today. Nope, the price is too great. The price is too great. And we don't let him in. And so, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. And he knocks for we don't know how long. But But day by day, Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. See, this is a part of God's knocking, I believe, and his drawing us unto himself. But it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You see, the heavens, the brightness of it, and the firmament, the ground, the earth, showeth his handiwork. Morning by morning uttereth speech. And night by night they show knowledge. And there is not a language nor a voice that has not heard this, that cannot understand this. There is no one out there. There is no speech nor there is no voice nor language that has not heard this speech from God that he has declared to us from heaven. And it has gone out through all the earth, Psalms 19 tells us. It has gone out through all the earth, to the ends of the earth. And there's none who can stand before God and say, I didn't know. I didn't know there was a Lord. I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know there was somebody who is greater than I, an authority that is set up. No one can say that because it says that his voice went out throughout the whole earth and everybody knows it. But people don't want the light to come in. And this is the condemnation it says in John 3. And this is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to open the door. The other day I was at the gas station and there was a fellow ahead of me and he was kind of in a hurry with his card wasn't working right. And he just said that he's trying to get this work week over with. This was Wednesday and he said he's got one more day to work. He's taking Friday off. He said there are a lot of other people don't celebrate that day. And he had a few other words in there that I knew he didn't know what that day was about. And so I said, do you know what that day is, what Friday is? And he said, Easter. I said, no, it's Good Friday. It's the day that our Lord died. He died for your sins, but on Easter he rose again so that if you trust in him, you can have eternal life. And he just shook his head and he said, I'll go where I go. And out the door he went. And, you know, here we have somebody who the knee is not bending. There's a stiffness here. We voluntarily bow to this Lord today. And I have to realize, as Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's exactly what he was doing. So that is my prayer for that man. Father, forgive him because he doesn't know what he's doing. You see, no one would ever say that if they had one glimpse into either heaven or hell. They would not make that statement. That I'll go wherever I go and that's fine. I'm okay with that. That is not, yes. But again, he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't know what he was doing. Lordship. Voluntary lordship. You see, in all the universe, there's only one place where God does not have control and authority over, and that's me and you. That's you and I. We are creatures of choice. And so we choose to a degree. We say God no or God yes. And God listens to that. God is okay. That's where you want to go. That's where we'll go. But God continues knocking. He continues coming. He continues to try to enter in. But there's only one place there. You see, God has no problem with the sun. Moses, lift up your hands and the sun stopped. And guess what all had to take place when that took place? There's a whole cosmos here that had to stop because everything is synced together. The sun stopped. The wind stopped on the sea when Jesus said, peace be still. He has no problem with that, that he can do that. And he can call the fish to come to the side of the boat. And 153 of them, big ones. And I just marvel at that. Because I believe he also kept the fish from coming to the net when he was out in the water. When they were out all night laboring, they were tired. Hey, do you have any fish? No, we don't. Try the other side of the boat. And they did, and it was breaking because it was so full. And so this is how God operates there. The universe is in his control, but yet right here, when it comes down to us, mankind, it is a voluntary surrender to the holy will of God in every aspect of life. There is nothing other than that. We cannot. He never forces his way in. He doesn't say, I'm coming in whether you want me to or not. Yes, I believe he's very persistent. But the choice comes down to me saying, yes, Lord, I want to go there. And that is that thing today in how we live and how we act. Is Christ the Lord? Is he the Lord of our life? Is he Lord over my decisions and everything that we do? See, at the end of time, there's two different beings that's going to be, it's one being, but yeah, there's two different aspects of that same being that's coming back. And it's either the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world for those who trust in him, or then the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And at the end of time, that's one of the two will be met. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will destroy the wicked world. Lord, my Lord and my God, is the knee bending today? Is he Lord over my life today? Does he make the decisions for me? I've shared some of this before, but I think that the church at large, the Anabaptist churches are becoming a lot more independent within. We don't need each other so much anymore. We have the capability of taking care of ourselves. I don't need to go over there and get some eggs from Albert. I got eggs. I can go to a store and buy eggs if I don't have eggs. I don't need other people so much. And I wonder if, as I look at some of these things, how does that affect the church here today? How does that affect my decisions that I make? How does that affect God being my Lord, the Lord over my life, the Lord over my decisions? And there's a song here that I just found very powerful. I don't know this song, but it was just a very good song, and I just want to quote this song yet. And it says this: amazing words, he gave himself for me. For me, rebellious, sinful, guilty me, for me the Savior bore the cross and shame. Rejoice my soul and bless his sacred name. For me he left his glorious throne above, for me revealed his Father's wondrous love. For me he tabernacled or dwelt here below, for me he drank the bitter cup of woe. For me he was reviled, despised, betrayed. For me was scourged, condemned, and crucified. For me he suffered the accursed tree. For me, lost, wretched, vile, unworthy me. For me in agony he groaned and died. For me God's righteous law is satisfied. For me his precious blood he shed to save. For me he triumphant rose up from the grave. You know what? For me. For us, for me, every one of us can take that and we can say it's for me, it's for I. And what does it look like to us in our everyday life when Jesus is Lord of our life? This here, this marvelous work that was done, this beautiful work, the plan that we could never come up with something as good as this. Not even close. This plan of salvation, this giving of himself. What does it look like in my life when I walk out this door today? Is he Lord of my life and the decisions that I make and how I go about my employment and how I buy my stuff and things of that nature? I've shared a couple weeks ago that I believe culture influences a lot more than we think, and I think it does. And in my own heart, I'm talking to myself here. I seriously am. But I think culture plays a role in this thing a lot more than we think. You take this over to another country and culture doesn't work there. This thing doesn't work over there. And beloved, I'm telling you, this message has struck my own heart. As I look at, is Jesus truly Lord of this of how I live my life? I know that there's many times that after I make a decision, that I think I didn't really even seek God about this. I just did it. And I don't know. I'm not saying that those are wrong decisions, but I'm just saying that where is God in life, in your life when we do that, in my life when I do that? When I just kind of go through life and I don't want to be there. Lord, Master, King. You see, Esther, when she went in to see the king, she prayed and fasted for 3 days because he had authority to kill her. You see, this Lord has authority. Not that he's going to kill you, but he has authority. And I think sometimes we don't recognize his authority nearly like we ought to. The power, the authority that he has, that he ought to have over my life. When it says that I have been that he has purchased me, I have been bought with a price. I have been bought and it was blood. So therefore I ought to glorify God in my body. Therefore my members should no longer be members that serve sin, but they should be servants to righteousness. They should serve, I should do things that and so I have a problem sometimes. I feel like there's, I listen to messages here and there, and they're just at the end of the message, you're just like, wow, I just ain't never going to shape up to that one. I'm just never going to make it that to that level. And that's not what I want to do today. I just want to encourage us to just look at this and so what does this look like in my life when I go forth from here? When I say that, when I say my Lord and my God, I'm saying that there's a voluntary Savior who gave Himself for me, and He's not coming in unless I let Him in. And so therefore, both sides are voluntary. So He is not my Lord unless I allow Him to be my Lord, unless He is dictating what I do, unless He is telling me what I do. He is not Lord here unless He is directing what happens here, the captain of the ship. You know, sometimes this ship goes through rough water, and I don't think it's wrong for us to go up to the captain and say, hey, do you know where you're going? I mean, I'm not saying that there's never a time that we don't cry out to God and maybe despair even sometimes. What's happening here? Why am I going through this? Or not why so much, but Lord, direct me. Give me direct. You know, that's not wrong to do that, I don't believe. I believe that we can do that. But you know what? At the end of the day, that He's the captain of the ship. He's directing it. We go where the ship goes. We go where He tells us to go. So I just want to bless you with that. And I just want to close with that. And we'll just open it up if you have anything you'd like to share or add to this. We have just a few minutes to do that.